The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by a beardless Craig Burley. We also welcome to the program Frank LaBeouf and Ali Moreno are with us as well. There's only one place to start the show, and that's in Spain, where it finished Barcelona 1, PSG 4. It was Lionel Messi who opened the scoring for Barca with a penalty, but then it was all about Kylian Mbappe. He bagged a hat-trick and was a king getting in on the goal-scoring action as well, seeing PSG in complete control of this tie going into the second leg in France. Craig, it's all about Mbappe, isn't it?
It was the Mbappe story, not the Messi story. Well, the Messi story was he was on the fringes, but it's not entirely his fault because the supporting cast is a shadow of its former self. We know that. But the only thing that went their way in terms of luck tonight, PSG, was the fact that the Dutch referee could have sent Idrissa Gueye off in the first half for a second bookable offence. He got away with that. Now, that's probably why Pochettino took him off at half-time.
Yeah.
Because he got booked, he made a reckless challenge, then he made another one. And I'm really not sure how the referee didn't give him a second yell. That apart, PSG were immense. They defended when they had to. The midfield was excellent, particularly Verratti. And Mbappe stepped up onto the big stage. I mean, they just took Barcelona apart in that second half, basically.
And Frank, let's not forget, this is a PSG side who haven't been convincing at all domestically over the last few weeks, but they turned it on at exactly the right time with Mbappe leading the line.
Yeah, you're right. It was very surprising to see that level tonight and how they stuck together. I mean, they worked very hard defensively, even the three at front. I never seen Icardi running so much, you know, defensively, working hard to make sure that he could help his teammates out. And everything was perfect. And yeah, you can find something. You can find that Gueye could have gotten a red card. But we can talk about the penalty that Barcelona got and the foul that Griezmann made on Mbappe as well in the second half, who the referee didn't recognize that maybe it was a kind of same mistake. But at the end of the day, you have nothing to say but Paris Saint-Germain deserved. They really deserved to win because they were better everywhere. Of course, you have an exceptional player named Mbappe, but the others have been perfect. And we have to question now, where are we going to put Neymar? When is he going to be back?
That's a discussion for another time. Ali, just take us through that hat-trick from Mbappe and how impressive those three goals were.
Three different types of goals from Kylian Mbappe and three different types of abilities. And he gave an early warning 2 minutes in when he went on a run in behind Gerard Piqué, and he started 10 yards behind Piqué, and Verratti plays the ball over the top, and then Ter Stegen comes out and sort of mishits the ball, misclears the ball, and just the danger just kind of went away. But right then and there, you knew that the speed of Mbappe was going to create problems. The first goal is not about speed, though. It's about skill, and it's in a tight space. Lenglet coming out to challenge him. He's able to get away from him and finishes to the near post away in the manner in which he did. The third goal is just a class finish. It's just opening up his body, picking that spot in the far post, and being able to put it up and over Ter Stegen. The second goal is being in the right place at the right time, knowing where the ball is going to be, anticipating the play, anticipating that there may be a mistake from Piqué, and then here's a tap-in. It's the variety in which Mbappe scores the goal tonight that I think was the most impressive. The other thing I would say is, I just mentioned Piqué in three different occasions there, not doing so very well. Mm-hmm. So I would ask this question to Ronald Koeman. If Gerard Piqué has not played in 2.5 months, this is the game that you want to try him out? This is a moment against this guy, against Mbappe, running in behind, running at you all night long. This is a moment that you're going to test whether Piqué is ready to go. I never understood that. I don't think it was the right decision by Ronald Koeman, and I'm not saying that just now. Right when I saw Piqué on the line, I said, what are we doing here? Why in the world would you do this? If you had any thoughts or idea about playing Piqué, you should have tried him out against Alavés on the weekend and see how he's feeling, and then maybe think about it. But after 2.5 months absence, you put him out there against Mbappé, well, there you have it.
Longley, Piqué, who's been out? Busquets. Holy smokes, you want lack of mobility.
Yeah.
I mean, Longley, for as good as Mbappe's first goal was, a beautiful flick from Verratti.
Verratti was excellent.
Yeah, it was fantastic. A beautiful flick from Verratti. But then but then he's so heavy-legged, Longley, in the challenge. And I know it's difficult to make a challenge in the penalty box, but the way Mbappe just skipped around him was scary. Dembele, in all fairness, Griezmann and Dembele had two very good chances early on.
Yep.
Griezmann took an extra touch when he shouldn't. He didn't have to. And Dembele scuffed a shot after, I think it was a little flick by Messi when he was almost on the penalty spot. Wasn't a difficult finish and messed it up. I'm sort of painting a picture of a couple of chances. That's not taken in and away. Paris Saint-Germain, if they'd won this game 5 or 6, I would have said, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But this is the kind of night. And it's not the best Barcelona team, but it's still a statement, another statement from one of the best players in the world, in Kylian Mbappe. Because if he scores 6 goals at the weekend in Ligue 1, I've no interest. I don't care.
Yeah.
Wipe it away. Tell me what he's doing next weekend. Oh, he scored another hat-trick in Ligue 1. I don't care, right? But I do want to see, a bit like what the PSG fans want to see with Neymar and others, I want to see what he's doing in these games. And he was absolutely immense. You've got to feel for the young fullback Sergio Dest because he's a young man, but this is a harsh business, harsh learning curve,
sure.
harsh platform to be on, getting left isolated against a guy with that skill, with that pace, on that form. That was difficult.
Frank, who impressed you today aside from Mbappe for PSG?
Well, almost everybody, but I have to say that Verratti was really the man, especially the first half. I mean, he was everywhere. I think he's the guy who ran the most in both teams. And but also Paredes. Paredes was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I've been very critical towards him, but I have to admit that today he's been all with Verratti, alongside Verratti, the two kings in the middle of the park. Keane. Moise Keane did very well, worked hard defensively, scored a goal, worked for everybody. And well, at the back, it was hard, you know, for Kurzawa, maybe on the, against Dembele. It's always difficult. He got the penalty against him. But otherwise, everybody was perfect. And I like to surline the fact that it was a risk squad. Because we talk about individualities for Paris Saint-Germain, where for maybe one of the first time, I can say that I've seen a real team fighting for each other. Draxler came on, you know, gave an assist, a beautiful pass to Mbappe. Herrera came on and worked hard in the middle of the park as well. Everybody was spot on. And it's why maybe... But it's maybe what I want to underline today, on top of Mbappe's fantastic performance.
So many problems for Barcelona, meanwhile, Ali. Craig mentioned Griezmann, Dembele. Let's not forget, these are players that combined cost over 200 million euros, yet again, not stepping up when they need to. And there just seems to be issues all over the pitch. This is a side, let's not forget now, who conceded 8 against Bayern Munich in their last knockout game in the Champions League, have now conceded 4 against PSG.
And that's exactly it, Dan. It isn't just one thing for Barcelona. Yeah. And today, every facet of their flaws, those things you could see right then and there. They were put in evidence. The lack of athleticism throughout the field, but really in that defensive third, and Craig just alluded to it, not only Piqué, but Lenglet, Busquets, the lack of athleticism through the midfield, the coaching decision. Piqué, you put in, I don't agree with that. I also don't agree with putting Sergiño Dest out there because he has not been playing regularly for Barcelona. He has had his injury issues, and you put him out there again against Mbappe, isolated, 1v1, he's not getting help from Dembele, he's not tracking back defensively. You get exposed defensively the way that Barcelona did today. You also have to look at the midfield and the fact that Barcelona is a team that depends on possession, on controlling the pace of the game. Well, that pace was never in their favor today. It was PSG that was controlling the midfield. It was Verratti, it was Paredes that were controlling the midfield. It wasn't Barcelona. Their passing, which has always been the hallmark of their game, turnover after turnover through the midfield. And then once you get to the final third, then you're depending on what Lionel Messi does. And if Lionel Messi is on the fringes, as Craig just alluded to, then they're not nearly as dangerous. Dembele, ineffective. Griezmann, ineffective. Pedri, turnovers. Busquets, lack of athleticism. Frenkie de Jong, he running behind for the penalty kick, but that was about it. Also ineffective in possession. All the flaws were there to be seen, and let's not forget about something that has been an oldie but a goodie for Barcelona. They cannot defend set pieces either. That's also a problem, and that was also evidenced tonight.
And Messi looks tired of...
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens to Messi?
Well, he looks... Look, we've talked about this, and I'm not saying this off the back of this performance, but clearly there'll be a clamber for Messi in the summer if his decision is to go, and that's where it's all pointing to at the moment. He's a free transfer in terms of not paying a transfer fee from, but his salary alone is effectively almost like a transfer fee. But he'll be 34 by the time the new season starts, and you're not going to get that same player. You're just not. And he looks tired of trying to drag this average Barcelona team over the end line. He looks to me like a player who knows the manager is a dead man walking and really is out his depth in this Barcelona job. And I think it's almost like a waiting game, or just waiting till it's all over.
Yeah.
You know, and he's playing like a player who's waiting until it's over. But I know there will be a clamber for him, but I don't think the clamber is in desperation like it was 2 or 3 years ago, because I don't think you're going to get the same numbers out of them. I just don't. And it's Mother Nature. Mother Nature catches up with you. And whilst you're going to still get a great player, I don't think you're going to get a player who is going to be able to change games where the team is not dominating like he once did. It's just the body's way of telling you. And then you have to reinvent yourself. And in all fairness, that's what Ronaldo has done over the past 2 or 3 years at least. He's reinvented himself as a different kind of player. The question is, whatever Messi's decision is can he reinvent himself to be able to produce that magic? Maybe not as much as he was, but certainly still in fits and starts wherever it is he goes if he does leave. And I just think, you know, if I'm Man City or something, am I absolutely desperate to bring him in? No, I don't think I am, to be quite frank.
Last word on this, Frank, to you. There's no way PSG can muck this up in the second leg, is there?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's been a possibility when they had the remontada, but they had to play the second leg in Barcelona in the new camp after winning, I think, 4-0. I don't see them losing more than 4-0, you know, or 5-1 against Barcelona at home. I don't think even any Barcelona player can believe that they can return the situation in their advantage. No way it can happen.
No way.
I think they already know that it's over.
No way.
No way.
No, that's
no,
it.
I think it would be...
On this form, can they compete with Bayern Munich and Manchester
was it,
City?
What was it? It was PSG capitulated against Barcelona last time.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we are talking about...
This is a
properly good Barcelona. Yeah. This is not a good Barcelona side. Do not see it happening.
But does this put PSG up there with Bayern and Manchester City?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. They've got obviously Neymar to come back. They've shown they can win without him. Mbappe on that form is going to cause problems to everybody. And they've got a guy in Pochettino, I think most people agree, is a very good coach, and the players are responding to him. So, yeah, absolutely, they are right up there.
Ali and Frank, thank you very much. Just a reminder, plenty of content regarding the Champions League over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go there and subscribe now.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Second half goals from Salah and Mane would see Liverpool with a 2-0 victory over Leipzig. Stevie Nicol and Yanago Fjortov with us to reflect on this win for Jurgen Klopp's side. Stevie, you were so negative going into this tie, but it turned out to be a great night for Liverpool.
Yeah, it was a victorious night, and deservedly so. They were the better side. I thought the way that the opposition got set up at Leipzig, that they were asking for trouble. You know, playing with three at the back against the front three. The two wide men didn't really particularly bother defending, particularly Angelino. And so there was plenty of time and space. You know, at half-time, they'd be disappointed they weren't ahead. Salah one-on-one with the keeper. Probably should have done better. Mane had a chance with a header. Firmino did get one disallowed. And so at half-time, Liverpool were comfortable. The real turning point, though, was straight after the second half started, and Nkunku, one-on-one with Alisson, who's been having a horrendous time recently, pulled off a fantastic save. And, I mean, what, 5 minutes later, Liverpool were two up. Two horrible mistakes defensively from Leipzig, and Salah, again, one-on-one, puts this one away. Mane, one-on-one, puts his away. And in the end, it's comfortable. And again, they got a little bit of luck, Liverpool, because right on the final whistle, Hee Chan was through one-on-one with Alisson and put it wide. That could have made a difference as far as the second leg is concerned. But a 2-0 win and then going home for the second leg certainly puts Liverpool in the driving seat.
Couple of gifts, wasn't it, from Leipzig, Jan?
Well, it was. You can't give presents like that away. I mean, first, Sabitzer, unbelievable assist. Sabitzer, a player I rate very highly, is a good midfielder that I think that a lot of English clubs will have a look at. And then Mukiele there at the end, just slipping or whatever he did. Mane and Salah did a great job finishing. But I think that the key today was the high pressure of Liverpool. I think they did excellent. Or having said that, they did high pressure excellent so that Leipzig, I've never seen them losing the ball so much at the back three there. Upamecano, he thinks sometimes that he is a playmaker. He's not even a great defender of those kind of games. And when he starts kind of want to be a Zinedine Zidane back there, it's terrible. They had so many passes that went to Liverpool. It was unbelievable. I think that was a very clever performance from Liverpool. I think that was one of the best performances I've seen for Liverpool for a long, long time. Winning 2-0 away in the Champions League against RB Leipzig. Remember, Nagelsmann has been so, we have been praising him so much for his tactical skills. Today, I think the praise should go to Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool. I think that was a great performance of the reigning Premier League champion.
You know, Stevie was frustrated the last few days because he's after all these years, he's been outed as a closet Man United fan.
Yeah, he's been very supportive.
He's been very supportive of Man United. Yeah. And they're tearing his pictures down the wall inside Anfield as we speak. But I'm with Jan here. I mean, I really, was it one of the great performances from Liverpool and what we've seen the last couple of years? Not even close. But in terms of what they've been producing lately, it was about as good as it gets, particularly going forward. There was a 10-minute period at the start or whatever it was for Leipzig when the header came off the post and Sabitzer had a strike and Angelino had a volley at the back post. And then after that, Liverpool composed himself, and every time they went forward, they pulled, as Stevie said, they pulled that back three apart because they were getting left exposed. They had Firmino dropping off, he'd sent a halves going in with him, then they were pinging it over the top. And when you're Nagelsmann and you look at this and say, okay, we created some chances and Alisson made a save, but again, it was Henderson and Kabak at the back. I mean, that's a centre-half pairing in a knockout stage of the Champions League, and you're not able to break the duck and get on the score sheet. That's not good enough. And the other side is, Liverpool were still taking chances in the first half, passing it back to
Alisson.
To Alisson. Bearing in mind the time that he's had. I mean, Henderson gave him one ball. It was a square ball, and he absolutely fired it at him. And Alisson shanked it and got away with it. I mean, so they're still taking chances, but I just thought going forward, every time they got on the ball, the quick one over the top, they looked like they could get in 2-0. I think Klopp will be delighted with that result.
Stevie, is this the light at the end of the tunnel? Is it now visible for Liverpool, considering this run that they've been on? Does this start them seeing to turn a corner?
100%. When you win games, regardless of how good or how bad you play, it makes everybody feel good and it brings everybody back together and it makes everybody smile. You know, they'll be going back into training the next day, they'll be meeting up and everybody will be happy. That's huge when you walk through that front door, whether it's the stadium or the where you train. So, yeah, 100% is the start, but that's all it is. And I'm sure Klopp won't be getting carried away. He knows that defensively, they're still giving teams chances. I've told you, you know, 2 1-on-1s today with Alisson, that's not ideal. But they got away with it, and if they continue to do that, then hopefully the front three, as he did today, will start scoring goals.
How did Leipzig get it so wrong, Jan?
Well, it's interesting because sometimes managers like Julian Nagelsmann, they get this God syndrome kind of thing. Then you play without strikers. You could say, I'm not a coach, but you could say that when you play three at the back, when they play with no strikers up front against Kabak and Henderson, not educated defenders, maybe you should put more pressure on them in terms of educating the Champions League that Kabak did. So I think that when Klopp saw that he played without strikers, he thought, oh, thank God, they play no strikers up there. Having said that, Nagelsmann has been successful doing that before. He had three or four strikers on the bench today. He put them slowly on. But I think that this Liverpool, I'm with you, Craig, saying that this is not the best performance we've seen Liverpool over a couple of years, but it was very solid because I think that Leipzig midfield is a very underestimated midfield with Kampel, with Sabitzer and Olmo and all these kind of players. And there was no danger today. And I was impressed by Liverpool today. And I think what they will take away from it, I agree with Stevie, they were one against Alisson, but after you still keep a clean sheet, then you give him confidence going into the league again. And Kabak being at a pitch with a clean sheet, I think this was a great night for Liverpool to take with them to kind of consolidate to get that top four position at least in the Premier League.
The other side was I think it was a good decision to have a bit more energy in the middle of the park with a youngster in Curtis Jones, who's at times this year looked very, very good for one so inexperienced. And you know, I just think having his energy and drive in there is something that maybe you've got to get the balance right. And when you've got Thiago in the side and you've got Wijnaldum who's coming out of contract, sometimes you need something a little bit different. And I thought that was a good decision. But look, to be quite frank, I don't think Liverpool are going to win anything unless they can get one Fabinho back in there at centre-back or to get some more experienced centre-halves fit. I just don't think, as good as Henderson's doing, and you know, credit him for that, They're not. I might be wrong, and I might have to eat my words here, but they're not going to go far in this competition. Even if they beat Leipzig out, playing that kind of pairing at centre back, it'll get exposed by the better teams, which I'm surprised Leipzig didn't do tonight.
Jan and Stevie, thank you very much. More from the boys over on Extra Time. You can check that out as always on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Watford up to third in the Championship after a 1-0 victory against Preston on Tuesday. Meanwhile, Reading go to fifth after beating struggling Bristol City 2-0. Norwich, meanwhile, in action tomorrow. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stay tuned, though. Craig stays with me, as does Jan. Stevie Nicol and his wonky house will be joining us as well to answer your tweets on Extra Time. Welcome to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. So many about that PSG game against Barcelona. PSG winning 4-1. A lot of them with this sort of thing. Should Messi jump ship to PSG, especially when his side gets hung out to dry against a Neymar-less PSG? We discussed this a bit on the show, didn't we? And we were like, well, if you're PSG, do you really want it?
Well, I mean, that's up to Pochettino and Leonardo and whoever's making decisions. But he's not jumping ship. If he does, he's out of contract. I mean, so he's well. He's, yeah. You know, he's not. I'm not. He's not leaving his sinking ship. But he's just doing what he has the right to do. But you know, we were talking about this in one of the segments in the show. The difference is, and his record along with Ronaldo, I don't know. It's like almost you equate it to almost 50 goals a year at the peak, but Ronaldo's been able to reinvent himself as a different player to he was. He was a wide man. And Messi's maybe going to have a rethink about his game, because at 34, as he will be at the start of next season, he's not going to be able to do what he was doing as a 28 and 29-year-old. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see who wants to pay his wages and what kind of numbers he's going to be able to deliver for somebody. But if I'm Man City, for example, who are one of the other clubs that have been touted, I'm not desperate to go out there and break the bank in terms of my salary when I have so many other players in different positions that I need to fill, i.e. striker when Aguero leaves.
Yeah, and if you were PSG, how hard would you push to get Messi?
Well, it's based on the transfers of Neymar, it's on the branding of Mbappé, and it's a kind of the branding of PSG. I think there is a difference between them Manchester City, because if you see how Manchester City played the game, if you see Guardiola with that speed and that thing, always would be a place for a Messi in his top form and how he produced over the 10, 12 last years. But I think it's most likely that that will be PSG, because that is more or less how that club is built. You need these kind of, call them Galacticos in Paris, so to say. So I think that is most likely. And I think that if PSG got a chance to get him, they will take him. I'm not 100% sure, although we have that Barcelona connection big time with Manchester City, that they will be like 100% eager to get him.
Yeah. Stevie, what do you think?
I think the fact that we're all not quite sure whether we would or wouldn't, regardless of whether it's PSG or Man City, tells you kind of where Messi's going. I mean, is he going to move on and then take a step up? It seems pretty unlikely at 34 that you actually take a step up all of a sudden. I mean, can they afford to have Mbappe, Neymar and Messi? Where are they getting the money from? Well, I'll do the gab one and see How can they do it with financial fair play? It doesn't seem possible to me. And I'm with Craig. If I'm City, I'm spending that money on the proper centre forward. I'm not going and getting a Messi.
I feel an article coming on from you on an ESPN FC, Stevie, where you write 1,000 words.
I'm more concerned about Stevie's background, which is getting more and more tilted, I feel, by the day. As if on sort of cruise. You don't expect all the books and everything to be falling back towards his right shoulder.
Are you leaning to your left at all?
So what way do you want me to go that way?
The whole thing. There's not been a mini earthquake up in New York.
You didn't know I lived on a houseboat, did you?
Has today's performance shown, Jan, that Barcelona have not improved? They've been only beating teams they expected to beat. They've struggled against Atleti Bilbao, Sevilla, and now PSG.
All kingdoms go broken at the end, and now we are witnessing the kingdom of Barcelona just falling apart. It's sad to see, and it's sad, but that's how these big kingdoms, these big teams, suddenly they're falling apart. And I think that we saw that today, very symbolic today with Mbappé getting his hat-trick, with Messi there. It's a new generation. Mm. I'm not saying Messi will produce his goods. He will probably score 25 goals this season as well from free kick, penalty, and some of his magic. But as for Barcelona, I don't think they have the resources. I don't think they have the right people running the club. I don't think they have the right recruiting department to come up with the big ones. Again, now they're 99% out of the Champions League. They won't win La Liga. So what's left? The past. And you don't win a lot of games based on your past.
Maybe they could go out and, you know, I've got to be in my bonnet about this. What? Maybe, like desperation, they could go out and pilfer another player from a relegation-threatened club in such desperado circumstances.
Craig, this for you. When will Mbappe win the Ballon d'Or?
I have no idea.
This is right up your street.
When's the Ballon d'Or? I've got news for you. Whoever they tweeted in, I can't see. The Ballon d'Or has been cancelled. That'll be breaking news tomorrow.
No, that was last year it was cancelled, wasn't
it? No, I meant for good.
Oh, no, it's back. Don't worry. France win the Euros.
It's back. That is back.
Champions League.
France win the Euros.
It'll win it, no problem, will it?
Yeah, yeah. And we'll send some writers there, probably. And they'll come back and write nonsense.
You should be excited about writers today. Stevie, this right up your street. Do Barcelona need to get rid of Piqué and Busquets because physically they can't cope against pacey and physical opponents? Yep, good.
I mean, is that a serious question? Absolutely. Part of being a professional footballer is being able to get around. And those particular two right now, as fantastic as they've been, they can't get around the field.
As a young player, Craig, how do you recover from getting roasted like Sergiño Dest was today?
Well, I didn't play fullback when I was younger, so I didn't get roasted.
Right, OK. But I'm sure you must have seen...
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Right, yes, Stevie.
I'll tell you. He's lucky that he's young because he can learn and get better. But you want to get roasted when you're 33, as I was, playing fullback against a kid called Leggett who could do the 100 metres in about 10 seconds. There's no coming back. So there's your answer. He's lucky he's a kid.
Better he can young learn. Than old, Jan.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I always played for the challengers. I never played for the big team that we could just cruise. So for me, you got roasted more or less all the time. So then there was only one way to do it, to just kick someone down. Yep. That was the only thing to do.
I mean, everybody has a bad game.
Right. So sorry, how do you get on? How do
well,
you
I remember. I remember one. I remember I was leaving the dressing room once at Stamford Bridge, and Stevie Clark, my teammate, now Scotland coach, just said to me, "Oi," as I was leaving. I thought he was going to give me like a bit of encouragement.
Yeah.
Say, listen, don't worry about it. And he said, "No, go home and lock all your doors and windows tonight and shut the lights." He said, "Don't even look out the window." I said, "Hopefully tomorrow it's all gone away."
Well, how bad were you?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
I had the same in Vienna. I played there for like 3 or 4 months. Then the goalkeeping coach came over to me very seriously and said, "No, Jan, I've realised what you need to get what you miss to be a top striker." And I was like, "Whoa, what?" And he said, looks me in the eyes and he said, everything.
Wow.
So we all
But some of these...
Where is he now, Jan? He's not with Craig Burley and Steve Nicol answering dark tweets.
I had to fire him.
Yes.
Can you imagine if he said that? I mean, I don't know. But can you imagine some of the rhetoric that was used to us from coaches and other... Can you imagine now? No. Some of them would be crying.
Yes, I'd be crying.
Yeah, but Craig, I think that was the kind of the humour that we used to have in the old days. And I remember when I came to Middlesbrough, I played one game and didn't score. Viv Anderson, the assistant coach, came over to me and said, listen, do you know when Jan Fjørtoft is coming? I said, what do you mean? Because you are his brother, aren't you? You are his brother.
No, that is the humour.
That's brilliant.
That is the humour.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a kind of... It's a jab at you, but not.
Yes.
In a way.
No. Sort yourself out. Sorry.
Love.
Final question. Oh, God. Right, Jan. How much chance do you give Eintracht Frankfurt this weekend against Bayern? Haven't been this excited about Frankfurt game in a while. If they make
who
it
said that? Derek Ray.
I don't know who this
Where's
is.
Derek Ray tonight?
This is Jan's burner account. If they make it to the Champions League next year, are they financially strong enough to sign players to bolster their depth? Oh, it's right up your street.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you, Boris Johnson, that you made Brexit possible, because now Frankfurt will be the financial capital of Europe. So thank you, we have the money. They are at the moment 6 points ahead of Dortmund with a better goal difference.
Yeah.
So it could be. Would we beat Bayern? I'm not sure. But in André Silva, the Portuguese striker, he's brilliant. We have a joke with Luka Jovic, who score goals.
We're losing them, Jan, we're losing them.
We will win against Bayern.
There you go. Perfect. That is it.
Is that the first time I've ever had an Eintracht Frankfurt question? On
well, unless Jan has sent one in back when he scored the fifth goal, which kept Eintracht Frankfurt up. He mentions that a lot as well.
Gets the family to send them in.
Yeah, we just won one time in the last 50 years away to Bayern and can't remember who scored. It was a great...
Was it your brother, Jan?
Stevie, if it's not too much to ask, Stevie, if you can level up your house for the next time, you come on.
That's it.
Not bad.
Thank you very much. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. We're reflecting on those two Champions League ties.